manufacture of armaments would be prohibited except for those of agreed types and quantities to be used by the UN Peace Force and those required to maintain internal order. All other armaments would be destroyed or converted to peaceful purposes. The U.S. State Department Publication 7277. And once again, the United States Program for General and Complete Disarmament, written in the 1950s. And according to Serge Maness, the government now denies that there ever was such a document. That's what Serge Maness says. I don't know what you'd say or what you'd hear from if you called your representatives about that. So let's deal with re-education facilities, listeners. From Serge Maness' book in 1994. We're just about completed with the commercial. Did we have a commercial pause? Well, I'm going to take a commercial pause. Let's just do that. Pretty amazing stuff here, people. And I want to make sure that you connect this next dot to re-education facilities. A little NAFTA music for you. Welcome back to the broadcast called American Exposé. Vital information tonight, especially now, where I cover the conclusion of this book. Serge Maness, the late Serge Maness, United Nations Concentration Camps Programs in America. Mass detention facilities, otherwise known as concentration camps, have been set up at a number of major U.S. military installations on the secret orders of ex-President Ronald Reagan. Executive orders which established these camps have been concealed because the camps are now in place. The White House issued a highly classified national security decision directive which set forth urgent instructions which activated 10 huge prison camps at key defense command locations across America. Two trustworthy sources, patriotic career army officers, revealed that preparations were set up in motion for an unprecedented roundup of security suspects coast to coast. According to these sources, one of the primary goals of the vast police operation, codenamed Rex 84, is to apply CNC, capture and custody measures against political opponents, resistors, and outspoken critics whom our bureaucratic government considers dangerous. Four of the principal civilian concentration camps established under the Rex 84 program are located at Fort Chaffee, Arkansas, Fort Drum, New York, Fort Indian Gap, Pennsylvania, and at Camp AP Hill in Virginia. Each of these camps is designed to hold at least 25,000 civilian prisoners. Additional emergency custodial facilities are being readied at Oakdale, California, reportedly for 15,000 detainees, and at Elgin Air Force Base in southern Florida, at Vandenberg Air Force Base in California, at Fort McCoy, Wisconsin, Fort Benning, Georgia, Fort Hetchua, Arizona, and finally, in the Southern Justice Department Detention and Interrogation Center known as Camp Chrome near Miami, Florida. Now, listeners, all that could be changed now. It could all be different now. However, I do believe, and those that have tried to prove it wrong, there are certainly concentration camp programs in America right now, and concentration camps set up on closed military installations and elsewhere, and who knows where else they could be. But William Pabst sued the federal government in 1976 for the concentration camp program. Who knows what would have happened if he hadn't sued the federal government at the time to receive the publicity that he received at that time back in 1976. Donald Rumsfeld was Secretary of Defense at that time as well as now. Go figure. A major national task force of federal intelligence and law enforcement agencies, including the FBI, the CIA, U.S. Marshals, INS, Customs, Coast Guard, National Guard, and so forth, will join with local and state police in massive roundups to haul in lists of suspects who will fill these improvised stockades. Quote, the first roundup and publicly announced one will be of illegal aliens and refugees, end quote. This is my whole point for getting to this point. Quote, the first roundup and the publicly announced one will be of illegal aliens and refugees, end quote. Didn't we just get a public announcement about this, listeners, a couple of days ago, or maybe even yesterday? According to a military service employee, quote, but under secret provisions of Rex 84, end quote, there will be also broad arrest of security suspects who can be held in these centers under this emergency order, whether they're U.S. citizens or not, end quote. Americans whom the administration suspects of belonging to so-called violence-prone groups or of supporting such groups, which may mean only that a dozen subscribes to an anti-government pro-freedom newsletter, may find themselves hauled off with hordes of illegal immigrants. My whole point of bringing this up tonight and last night is to get to this point. Another category of anti-bureaucratic activists, which may be bound for administrative detention under this directive, is that, quote, major organized tax resistors, end quote. That's according to one source close to the program, listeners. Not a single source interviewed could cite a constitutional or legal precedent for such a staggering mass roundup of civilians by American authorities in peacetime. If the president ordered a direct strike into Central America, which was to be codenamed Operation Night Train, that they would set up a commandant domestic exercise or order games scenario called Rex 84, the main rationale of which this roundup was to, the main rationale of which was to round up 400,000 undocumented Central American aliens during a two-week period of time, incarcerate them in 10 military detention camps. Then we have, listeners, Operation Dragnet, called the United Nations Pitfall. According to the Washington Report, something called Operation Dragnet, as authorized under Title II of the McCarran Act, according to this act, the alleged president of the United States is authorized to suspend the Bill of Rights with a single telephone call if either an invasion, a state of war, or more probably an insurrection is certified by the head of the current government, Operation Dragnet will be initiated. Currently, a UVAC computer located in a secret place somewhere near Washington contains at least 1 million names, and with the signal, the computer will begin printing arrest warrants. Those whose names are stored in the computer will be picked up by the FBI, state and local police. 17 prison camps known in World War II as concentration camps have already been constructed to hold mass arrestees. Three of these camps are being held in current readiness. Two are on standby, and the rest could be activated rapidly. Strategically placed, this is a quote, strategically placed across the country from Elmendorf, Alaska to Avon Park, Florida, three of these detention centers are now operational in a slightly different guise. Two others are on a standby basis, and the rest are ready and available with a minimum of preparation and all that's needed to fill these camps with thousands of Americans is for somebody to launch Operation Dragnet. It will be swift and legal. The law is already on the books. They represent every shade of political and social opinion from right to left and include a big span of middle-of-the-road citizens who have never committed an offense more heinous than having subscribed to an unapproved periodical. Its history is short and simple. On September 22nd, 18 years ago, Congress, by two-thirds vote, made official Public Law 831. Now it is known as internal security. And for all intents and purposes, I certainly can't read you the maps of the detention centers that are here. We're basically finished with the book, although I started with it way into the book. I never covered FinCEN, Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, vital information as well. Let's go here. I revert back to an early portion of the book that I did not cover. It should be understood that the MJTF police is not trusted by the federal agencies and eventually will be done away with. Again, the MJTF are useful cannon fodder that eventually will be swept to the side. Moving on beyond the MJTF police, we are going to back up into them a little bit. There are FinCEN forces. FinCEN, Financial Crimes Enforcement Network personnel. FinCEN has as much to do with finances as the SAS had to do with airplanes. The SAS, Special Air Service, was a cover name for an entity which existed in England and was the equivalent of the OSS of World War II, 1941 through 1945. FinCEN forces, their mission is house-to-house search and seizure, separation and categorization of women and children, transfer to detention facilities, securing properties acquired but not maintaining of detention camps. That will be the mission of the MJTF police. Serge Manasse says, I should mention very quickly, the detention camps themselves, originally under FEMA, 23 detention camps were authorized. These detention camps were spread out across the United States. In addition to that, there are 20 supplemental camps that were authorized with the 1990-1991 military fiscal budget. Carl Levin's DOD budget amendment 656 authorized the implementation of these 20 camps to supplement the 23 that were already authorized. There are now 43 total camps that are pre-deployed inside the continental United States. In addition to that, there are supplemental camps or auxiliary camps through each state and each region. An example of this would be the Nike Hercules site located near Monroe, Michigan, that is predestinated detention facility. The three sites that were located in Michigan, one located due north of Peckney, Michigan, due west of Brighton, 2 earmarked near Lansing, Michigan, to be northeast, 3 the Fort Custer Military Reservation, which has been upgraded from a D facility to a B facility. This is very important because a D facility is state authorized and state controlled. A B facility, on the other hand, has been upgraded to federal status and is comparable to any of our prime military facilities, such as Fort Benning, Georgia, Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, any facility that we are presently using for active military forces. However, if you get a chance to tour the highways and the byways and back roads of Fort Custer, you will find that there is a new urban warfare center there. The new urban warfare center doesn't look like Bad Hirschfeld Base, Germany. It looks like downtown Monroe. It looks like downtown Saline. It has 3-bedroom ranch-style houses, Cracker Box farmhouses, small living areas inside downtown areas. At this particular site, MJTF police forces were training from the first week of January of 1989 on. They were training very second and third week of the month from Monday through Thursday. They were paying with the DOD fund. In other words, these are GSA funds other than regular military budget allocations. It is important to understand how they pay, because that's how you can find out who it is that's playing. These forces operated secretly for a number of months, and we identified them as they were training and they changed facilities. We understand after approximately 1.5 year cooling time, they were using Custer and they were using Grayling again, extensively bringing forces together from other parts of the state, training them on site and sending them back out to be prepared for whatever is going to happen in the future. Now, where are we today with all this, listeners? With Federal Prisons Incorporated, where are we today with all this? Concentration camp programs in America, listeners. Where are we today with all of this? You have the state-owned prison industries. Unicor, Federal Prisons Incorporated, is one of them. And then you have 42 other locations of federal prisons that utilize slave labor to build products. This will be a permanent entry on the website in the very near future. And you can learn about Alabama Correctional Industries, Alaska Correctional Industries, Arizona, Arkansas Correctional Industries, American Prison Industry Authority. It's a little different. It's a legal prison system. It's not hidden. It's not a concentration camp, but it's manufacturing products at a much reduced rate than a normal employee would make in a free portion of the country that we once lived in. Let's get back to FinCEN. Financial Crimes Enforcement Network was organized utilizing military forces as secret police forces here in the United States. Have you ever heard of FinCEN? I'm no doubtly positive that they've been gobbled up into Homeland Security, wherever they may be, if they even still exist. But we have Homeland Security in place, which is a dynamic, totalitarian implementation system. And what is Homeland Security for? Enforcement of Information for Decision Making, Chapter 40 of Agenda 21. Now, according to this information from Serge Manasse, these FinCEN forces are predominantly European. According to Serge Manasse, we have Belgian, Dutch, German. We're looking at French. We also have a variety of Asian military personnel. It is known at this time, for instance, that FinCEN has an element in Montana that is made up of Gurkhas. The 197th Mechanized is, or as of 1 week ago, has deployed for a training operation that may last as long as 2 months in northern Montana. Keep in mind, this is old information back in 1994. Let's move on. During the LA crisis that took place, there were a series of actions that took place both in Montana, and we also saw activities in California. And there were activities in northern Texas in the panhandle. FinCEN forces are ruthless. For example, the Gurkhas are professional mercenary forces from Nepal. They rotate these forces for a period of time out of Nepal and were originally hired by British military force for a number of years. Now, what they are under the UN authority, of course, they have to find a use for them, and they have. Remember, the Gurkhas were being paid by the British and probably still are to be used against us, kind of like the Hessians of 1775. Now, at this stage, this is pretty dinosauric information compared to what we're living with today. As a result of Katrina, we've had Canadian troops in America, we've had Mexican troops in America, we've had troops from Holland in America. I don't know who else is here. We're not privy to that information. But 1 million people evacuated Louisiana. Where are they? It was reported 1 million people evacuated Louisiana. Where did they go? How did this happen? Weather modification, environmental modification, implementation of a natural disaster to bring people out of their homes. And there you have it. So we deal with prison industries, and they say, let's stop it before we are all working for 23 cents an hour. And she says the following paragraphs are from the congressional record. So while this justice, and this is a quote, dated May 20th, 2003. So while this Justice Department continues its growth path and says in the Justice Department, we believe in creating high-quality, high-paying jobs. We're going to create more of those 23-cent-an-hour jobs. We're going to create more of those 40-cent-an-hour jobs. We're going to build more of these factories that pay no federal taxes, that pay no local taxes, and pay no state taxes, because we think that is good for America's economy, end quote. And that comes from the House Congressional Record, May 20th, 2003. Vital information. The Hoekstra reports in this transcript, the Department of Justice owns and operates 111 of these factories in 71 different locations. They are projecting that they are going to build another 17 new facilities. Prison industries grew in 2002 by 14%. They plan to grow some markets by 50% in 2003. Quote, the sad story in America, in American economy today, is that one of the fastest growing businesses in America, one of the fastest growing manufacturing and service industries in America today, you will not find traded on the NASDAQ. You will not find it traded in the New York Stock Exchange. You will not find it listed in the NFIB as one of the fastest growing entrepreneurial companies in America, or one of the fastest growing small businesses in America. The sad point is one of the fastest growing companies in America today is a company that pays 23 cents an hour, provides no benefits and pays no taxes, and is run by the federal government and attacks American workers and their families each and every day. For federal prison industries, it is a growth business. Such a growth business that a little less than a year ago, Hathaway Shirts in Maine had to shut their doors after a major shirt order went to federal prison industries and did not go to private competition to the private sector, end quote. Also from the House Congressional Record, May 20th, 2003. That's a sad commentary for our country listeners. I have been lackadaisical in covering Federal Prison Incorporated and Unicor. And I apologize. My mistake. We are in a mess at this date and time. And it's coming from all sides, from all directions. The publicity about a bird flu pandemic is big. Hurricane Wilma has reached Category 5. It may be reduced, but it's being steered. I can certainly guarantee that. Oh, boy. It's the UN system, listeners, and you'll learn that in Federal Prisons Incorporated, people. It's just the bottom line. It's just the way it is. Good evening.